You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Okay. We're ready for hour number two as the Suge Knight lookalike is cutting some rug in the studio. Travis Johnson, Barry Laminack, along with me, Joel Blank. Hey, and you know the saying, guys, that misery loves company? Well, if you're a Texans fan, you know that you're not a Cowboys fan. And Jason Lockenfora is now tweeting that Jason Garrett up in Big D revealed Dez Bryant out for an extended period due to a fracture in his knee. Very likely Romo plays before Dez comes back. I know Barry has found some other tweets out there that might indicate that it's up in the air whether he will play or not with this knee issue. But
well,
the Cowboys dealing with another big-time player that has taken a hit.
NFL.com just said that he's day-to-day and that the coach even said that he was going to play. So, you know, I mean, that may be gamesmanship on Jason Garrett's part. But, yeah, they're saying that he should play Sunday against the Niners.
We got a guy that can answer that. He should be joining us in the next half hour. The former Chargers team doctor and a friend of one of the three Wees, that is Travis Johnson. Trap has gotten his ex-team doctor that is going to be joining us in the next half hour. And when he does, he's already sent out a tweet that says basically, if the issue is with the knee and the outer portion of the knee, I believe it is.
It's the hairline. Yeah.
If and the weight-bearing portion, yeah. He will miss several weeks. So we'll get some answers from the doc. If you guys have questions for the doc, if you have questions for Barry and or Trap, and if you just want to talk and weigh in about JJ, 713-780-ESPN. Text us, tweet us, call us, or get the app and make sure you're listening to us and taking us wherever you go. Go to ESPN975.com. Make sure you download the app to listen live and also listen while you're at work, because as long as we're with you, we might as well be everywhere within reason. And that means at work, too. You don't really want to be with Travis in certain areas of this building or other buildings. But other than that, as long as it's a public place where there's gossiping and chatter going on, like the water cooler,
yeah,
we're happy to be with you.
Hey, so Josh Like a Boss said on Twitter, he said he blames Reebok for JJ's injuries because he never got hurt when he was with Nike.
That's a great tweet. That actually is a,
you know what's crazy?
It's pretty funny, though.
You know what's funny, too? Because he was always a Nike guy.
Yeah.
And then about halfway through the season, like a year ago, I was texting Texan people that I know in the organization during the game going, how is your boy wearing Under Armour and different gloves and different cleats if he's a Nike guy? And at first they were in denial, like, no, he's not. And then all of a sudden there was like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. And I'm sure that's one of those contract dispute things where, because remember now, JJ had a Nike shoe before he had a Reebok
shoe. That one was ugly, too.
But first of all, I don't know, unless you're a fan of like gas station logos, I don't know that how you could be a fan of that Reebok shoe.
But both of them were ugly.
But you know what it comes down to?
You could
to
be a nurse. Then you might like it.
Yeah, you could, you know, if they're OSHA approved. But
Steph Curry's are.
Especially the James Harden's definitely are.
that could be custodian approved, but that's another story.
Definitely, but I think it probably was he signed that deal with Nike, and Nike doesn't give cash. Unless you're one of the greatest out there, and they barely get.
What isn't he?
This is before I'm talking about, but he probably signed this long before he started making all these plays, and they might even up this money at one point of apparel, and then all of a sudden he realizes I'm getting shortchanged here because I'm getting $100,000 a year in apparel, but I'm not getting any cash in my pocket. So the simple thing to do is with Nike is you wear other people's shoes. Or you spec your shoes.
Essentially, it's like a threat.
Yeah.
basically you go out there wearing some another brand name, and then it fires Nike up, and you basically then get into an instant negotiation session.
Hold on, so Nike doesn't pay him at all?
No,
just in apparel.
It's apparel.
Yeah. Well, who the hell would do that?
But it's some guys like Andre used to get.
Yeah, Andre was brand Jordan.
No, but this is before Andre became brand Jordan. All the brand Jordan guys are Nike guys as well.
Right.
So Andre was always Nike, and Nike gives Andre, at the time, I think it was, they gave him $100,000 apparel, and they gave him $50,000 cash every year.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's not much.
But it's not much, but that's real. That, they don't go any higher than that.
So well, Nike, who was paying bills with a box of shoes? You can't send a box.
They're not paying bills. No, but they all. But
still, that money.
All, in the NBA, it's apparel. Almost, with the exception of a probably
LeBron,
15 guys or less. Everybody's getting trade deals where when they play the Portland Trail Blazers and they go to the Nike World Campus and you hope to play in the West and go there twice, you can go to the employee store with like three shopping carts and you clean up or you get a certain catalog that says because that's you're ridiculous. A Nike Man, guy.
It's the NikeElite.com.
Yeah, you get a certain website and a certain choice.
Athletes are okay with this?
We have no choice. And they're not giving Nike's losing money.
Or you can wear an inferior shoe. Because what happened was, look, when we had some of our young guys, and Isaiah Cannon was one of those guys, and guys on the roster gave him a hard time. He had the opportunity to sign with Nike, which was all in trade, this was after the And One Mix Tour had been long been retired.
He didn't put no And One. Stop lying on that, man.
No,
please,
very
don't tell
true.
He put no And Ones on.
And White Chocolate was moved on to working at a kiosk at the mall instead of doing the stuff he used to do on the court. And One was trying to make a comeback. And the guys were telling him, bro, if you're going to take like 15,000 to 30,000 just to wear And Ones and hope that that shoe holds up, or you're going to go with Nike in the deal, you got to make sure your dogs are your cash card. You got to have your feet intact.
Here's the thing, though. If I'm an athlete, all right, and I'm making money playing a sport, and Nike comes to me and says, well, we'll give you – first of all, doesn't the team provide a certain amount of apparel for you? They don't provide you shoes. They don't provide you anything. The team doesn't provide shoes.
They provide gear. They provide all the gear.
The only gear they provide is team-issue gear.
Do they provide you shoes in basketball?
No.
Okay, so you have to go out and get your own shoes. You know what? I'm making hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year. Why am I going to advertise? That's like people that put Nike stickers on their trucks. Why am I going to advertise for you for free, especially if I'm an athlete?
It's not free. You're giving me a pair. If it's free, it's for me. If it's free, give me three.
Man. Thanks, Calvin Murphy. But the other thing that you notice, too, is especially in Major League Baseball, especially when the Astros are calling up guys like Tyler White, they take the logos off.
Yeah.
So your mitt, if you look at the mitt, normally the logos themselves on the wristband and on the they're always a different color.
Yeah.
The players take shoe dye and they make it all, if the mitt's black, they make it black until they get the money. Tyler White would take the logos off
until they get the money, exactly.
Until they get a contract, right. But some guys, it's not coming because they don't think it's worth the while. And if you're not going to accept a minimal gear deal, then they're not interested.
Well, brand Jordan. I use brand Jordan because everybody says, Dre's with brand Jordan. Jalen Ramsey with brand Jordan, Sapp with brand Jordan.
I might play for a bunch of Jordans.
But that's all they get.
Okay.
All they get is product. Now, that's all they gave him was product.
Derek Jeter.
All he got was product.
You got
Jordan shoes and you got Jordan gear.
But can you get the retros though?
They send you all the retros.
Oh yeah, that's part of the catalog.
They send you everything. They literally send you boxes on boxes every single month.
Well, I would just eBay those.
That's why you remember when Randy Moss was in his prime. It's the reason why Randy Moss left brand Jordan because he gets no money. Nobody who is on brand Jordan gets any cash. It's all apparel. If they do get any money, it's from the Nike side.
Wow.
Brand Jordan, you literally are only getting apparel.
Can I tell you what changed the whole game in this regard as well? Is when the Chinese Anta and some of the Chinese companies got involved. Because I know for the guys that I know that they would make the deal. And we had several guys that made the deal just because they wanted the cash. And they got good cash. But in the process, the shoe that they were required to wear was so hard on their feet and was also falling apart that what they would do is, exactly what we're talking about with baseball players, they would wear a Nike, but they'd either pull the swoosh off or they'd white it all out so that it looked like it was just a white shoe. But they basically felt like, hey, man, I'm getting the best of both worlds because I'm still wearing my Kobe Lowe's and my feet are feeling good, But I'm collecting all that money that says that I got a deal with Anta or Peak or one of these companies, and they were rolling. At some point, you got to wear them, but you also know because the feet are so important, particularly in basketball, them damn things better fit well, and they better last.
You could use the money from Anta to pay for foot surgery, though, so at least you were getting something from them.
Your team doctor should cover that for you.
I remember telling Mario that I'd never forget, because Mario was one of the first ones. Mario Williams. Him, Reggie, and Jason Babin. Right, the only guys in the league wearing Adidas.
Who's Reggie?
Reggie Bush.
And I just would like you to clarify your Rolodex of name-dropping friends that we don't know.
I apologize.
Okay.
But Mario Williams, Reggie Bush, and Jason Babin were the only guys at the time in the league wearing Adidas. And I'll never forget, Mario's first week, his big toenail falls off. And the first thing I tell him is like, dude, that's them garbage Adidas you got on your feet. It keeps on, and every year, like clockwork, his big toenail fell off.
But you know what? Damn. Every time it fell off, it had three stripes on that toenail.
And he sure enough did. And the money he was getting from Adidas was phenomenal.
If I'm J.J. Watt, though, and I have to wear these ugly-ass Reeboks, I need money.
They're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I would think so, but...
What is it, Sitco? And the old Arco?
Yeah.
That's the logo. Man. That's what it looks like.
It does look like the old Arco logo.
El Jefe's got like three pairs, in the Nike and the Reebok. El Jefe must be a nurse. That's all I'm saying, because I don't know how you wear those shoes with a good conscience unless you're a nurse. Or Nick. Either way, I know that we don't have the shoes that El Jefe does, at least in that category, but don't challenge us in terms of how many shoes we have back at the house. And even Barry, I'm sure, has got some J's. You know what? Let us know what you got in your closet. We're talking about shoes. And we'll talk about all kinds of football and much more. ESPN 97.5 FM.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
The dispute continues. Did he or didn't he receive money from Brand Jordan? We understand that Brand Jordan is under the Nike umbrella.
A subsidiary.
But at the same time, I believe $130 million speaks for itself. Derek Jeter got paid, he got paid.
Okay, to clarify, so my buddy Eddie sent
part of it.
My buddy Eddie Vasquez sent it, and he was like, hey, man, tell Travis that he's wrong, that Jeter made money from his Nike deal, his Jordan deal.
But see, let me explain it. That was from his Nike deal that he signed way before his Jordan deal. So Jordan has carte blanche to tap different guys from Nike to say, come on board. But most of those guys, like Andre still gets a check from Nike, but he's a Brand Jordan guy.
Yeah, okay. So the 130.
It's technically a technicality.
And to clarify, the 130 was across Nike, Gatorade, Rawlings.
Oh, see.
Movado.
But he still got paid.
Yeah, he got paid.
Of course.
At the end of the day, that's what matters.
Yeah,
but again, if it's the difference, we're talking about Nike and Brand Jordan,
yes.
Right? We're not talking about And One.
Yeah,
if we're talking about And One or Peak or Shaq's. Anta,
hey, listen, I wore Shaq's. My daddy couldn't afford.
You probably had big feet.
My daddy couldn't afford all
the
them Nike
Reeboks or
the Shaq Reeboks. Yeah.
No, the Payless Shaqs. Don't lie, the Payless Shaqs.
Remember when Patrick Ewing tried to do his own shoe?
I had the Mailman's.
Garbage.
I had the Mailman's. I had the Ewings.
Did you have the Starberries?
No, I didn't have the Starberries.
That was the worst of all time.
I was too old for the Starberries.
Oh.
But I also had the freaking Mutombos that were sold at Payless.
Oh, no. See?
The Starberries were awful.
I never.
That's genuine plastic.
But why would you come out, if you're going to try to sell shoes, come out and say, hey, man, our shoes are cheap. I get what he was trying to do, but you can't do that.
That was the greatest thing Shaq ever did with his brand. When Shaq took his shoe from Reebok, and I think Reebok still made the shoe, and put it in Walmart, and you're selling it for $25.
That's not the greatest thing he did.
Your street cred goes way down when you get your shoe at Wally World.
As soon as someone saw you in a pair, I had a pair. The Spalding 34s. Those red and yellows?
That was Etonic. The Spalding 34s were the red, white, and blue with the pinstripe pajamas.
That Olajuwon still wears to this day.
Man.
No, he's a free as me guy. He wears whatever equipment guy got in his size.
But my daddy couldn't afford them. Like, he refused to pay when at the time Jordan's were like $90. He refused to pay for that and was like, hey.
You just aged yourself, because any Jordan at $90 is a hell of a deal these days.
Man. Yeah, it is nowadays. You know what I mean?
But see, I got a job at Whataburger to buy my own Jordans. I wasn't going to rock. I couldn't do the Shaqs.
Man, I didn't have time for a job.
Just followed Barry home and took his.
I had one job at, oh, you was a gangster. I
yeah.
like that.
Uh-huh. Said, I man, see.
Hey,
that was you?
Huh? Yeah,
it was me, but I won't admit it unless mm-hmm. you point me out in a lineup.
Well, you said, get down or lay down. I'm going to need them shoes. What size are those? My size. Uh-huh.
Oh.
I always lied. I'd be like, these are 6.5s.
Never mind.
Easy there. Itchy trigger finger.
You was a short, fat kid with the little feet, huh? Yeah, I was about
I was skinny as hell.
He was straight hood.
You were skinny?
He had a high top fade, bro. He showed me pictures.
I had a few Jewish homeboys. I had a few Jewish homeboys that had high top.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. Well, so was third base.
Let's slow down on the hood stuff. I don't exactly say I was hood.
Oh, he claims it when you're not here, Trav. It's different.
No. He's from the hood?
No. Yeah, a little bit.
What hood he from? What's that you claim? You from that French part of Compton?
Brentwood.
Hey.
That's another story for another day. Hey, I want to remind everybody that the former doctor for the San Diego Chargers, who is part of the 3WE of Travis Johnson's network, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, Dr. David Chow. He will have something to say because he's already tweeted on the Dez Bryant injury and can kind of break down for us what the breakdown is and what it means depending on where it is. And then also his thoughts and his commentary about the J.J. Watt injury. Granted, everything is with a grain of salt because he has not seen J.J.'s personal health records, but he can say in general, when you have an injury such as what J.J. had, what the rehab process is, what's the expected timetable for a return, and what can possibly be the ramifications of coming back too soon. If you want to join in on the conversation, you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN for calls and or texts, and you can tweet us as well. And we will get your tweets and get them out there. Barry does one heck of a job with the file cabinet, trying to make sure he gets through good, bad, and the ugly. And as Travis and I say, and if you are one of those people that have cowardly keyboard confidence, keep it to yourself. Somebody, you don't need it.
Somebody asked about Dada's.
Dada. Oh,
that was a Chris Webber shoe.
I had a pair of those.
That was a Chris
Webber
shoe.
Did you wear tough skins with patches on the knees?
Man,
what the hell?
I had the first two Shaqs, of course. But
why,
I had the,
of course.
I had the,
they were ugly shoes.
I still got them in my closet.
They're still ugly.
Brand new, and I wear them up here next time.
With that little logo.
Dang right.
Ugly.
And then I had the Kamikazes, the Sean Kemps.
That's another Reebok
shoe.
You used to wear Bugle Boy, didn't you?
What was it? The
man,
what,
I wore whatever my daddy gave me. Huh?
Sean Kemp was the black top collection for Reebok.
BK
British Nikes. You know, we wore British Nikes because before I moved out of L.A., I couldn't wear them in Inglewood. Cause BK stands for blood killer, you know what I mean? So you never wore those. So yeah. You know you kind of had to get out of Inglewood, which is a blood central.
When it's all good in the BK. Hood, Trap will break it down. And by the way, with the BKs, we always said the Trap was big enough to have taillights. When he had the BKs with the lights in the heel, he actually did.
Yes,
we'll have that and much more. We'll catch up with the Chargers doctor on the flip side. ESPN 97.5 FM.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
We're all about when you keep it real, from the toes to the heel, then you're talking about the kicks, and they got to be sick. We're talking about the ones that we had when we were a kid, and evidently you guys are talking about the ones that you had and still have. And if you're a shoehead like me and Trav, and Barry loves the Jordan 11s, well, then you might have a closet or a garage or a storage unit that my wife hates desperately. Still with all of our shoe collections. And Mark at Twitter, Villalobos, is showing off his J's and his OVO and Yeezys.
Oh, God.
A lot
Not
in
those.
That. There's a lot
that dude,
there.
I don't understand how Kanye West can get away with charging $100 for a T-shirt. That's what I'm fascinated by. And there are people buying those T-shirts.
You can't argue.
I don't understand.
You can't argue with fools.
I don't understand. Wait, that.
Man, can I just say this, by the way? Did you see Uncle Buck?
I didn't watch that show.
Oh, it's a movie. You should probably see it.
Oh,
because
yeah,
whatever's
you have a show
going on with
Uncle
your
Buck.
Headset, you get Molly Russell's wart every day.
Yeah, because when I put the hat on that one day and wore it, the inside of my headphones and started.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But now you look like Molly Russell's wart, and it looks like I need to give you a quarter to have a rat lance something off on the back of your, on top of your head downtown.
That's because I shaved. I finally cut my hair.
Yeah. So now Trav officially is the stand-up double for Suge Knight. And so please don't mess with the show because he's here.
I was going to mess with him about his sneakers. I'm not going to. No,
I
run
told
me
everybody.
Over.
I mean, if we go in with a show-centric ass-kicking, I got my lead. I'm just following right behind.
Got you.
Nick, at the other, on the other hand, just might be silly enough to be the hood ornament in front. That's a sacrificial lamb. Exactly. Hey, we talked a lot about J.J. Watt today. We got into the shoe business. We got into a lot of other things. And right now we're getting into bringing you guys the most technical and up-to-date information that you will need about injuries in the NFL, primarily about two in Texas and one specifically to start with, that of J.J. Watt in his back. With that, I bring in one of the members of the Wee Team. We all know that Travis Johnson's Wee Team are the Wees of the Raiders, the Texans, and the Chargers. And his former team doctor with the Chargers, David Chow, joins us now from, I assume, sunny Southern California. Doctor, thanks so much for joining us. And, of course, you can get your greetings and salutations in with one Trap J99.
Always good to be on. And, look, anytime Trap texts me, if I can break away from patience, I'm good. He's the best.
Patience-mations, Doc. Just put a Band-Aid on it and give him an IV, and we'll be willing to have you on any time at all. Before, I guess, to not mince words and get right down to it, you obviously are somewhat familiar with the type of injury J.J. Watt had. We've been going back and forth. There's a lot of media scrutiny going on now about J.J. and the lateness of which he had the surgery leading into training camp, and then the recovery period, which was originally set at 6 to 8 weeks. With all that said, when J.J. goes through that kind of process, is it fair to say that he came back too soon, or how would you evaluate what J.J. went through?
Well, you know, I don't have the inside information in the sense that I haven't seen J.J. Watt's MRI scan or examined him, and if I had, I wouldn't be able to talk
because
of HIPAA privacy laws. But looking at it from the outside, you know, it was going to be very difficult for him to be effective this early in the season. I said it in a Real Football Network piece and wrote about it that, look, July 22nd surgery and to play week one, that's difficult. Now, hats off to J.J. Watt. He's a superstar athlete, and he did it, and he played. But we can predictably, he wasn't 100%. Realistically, it would have taken to midseason to get closer to 100%. If you look at Dontari Poe, D lineman from the Chiefs last year, very similar time frame. He indeed played all 16 games without re-injury, but he really wasn't himself to the later half of the season, and I would have expected that. Aggravation, I think, and a setback can be expected in terms of the recovery if you're pushing too hard. Re-injury, I think, is unpredictable and may not have been expected.
Question, Doc. I know for me, when you're of course, you know, we talk all the time about the injury in Oakland and the way we rehabbed and the way we went about it. And I remember the first thing you told me and James and Damon was basically y'all signed me up for Pilates class and says, get your core right because it'll help out everything else. Do you think his core and tearing of that ab muscle last year had anything to do with how his back responded after this surgery?
Well, I'm not sure about if the ab part of the core had anything to do with the back, but yes, core is very, very important. He should have had enough time to recover from the core surgery last year, but there's no question it's not enough time from his surgery to be 100% on his core muscles. When you do a disc surgery, it's a very small incision, and the surgery itself is not that difficult to recover from. The rehab from it is very difficult because you're going through, you know, up to 5 inches of muscle. The disc is way deeper than anyone thinks that it is, and you have to go through muscle to get there. So the core muscle rehab to get back into shape and get back into football shape is just not possible in a short time period. And I think he did a great job in bucking the odds and not missing time and coming back to play. But I think we can all see he wasn't defensive player of the year caliber these first three games.
Doc, can you possibly diagnose Travis with something now so that he can work on his core again? Because we are concerned with him from time to time based on what we see him come into the studio with.
Look, that just means that you know Travis very well.
That's correct. We're tight. Well, let me ask you this, Doc.
Well, I could tell you some stories about Trap. I mean,
and we're all for that. That's why you could be a regular contributor, because those stories are gold, radio gold. I know that already.
I'm telling you, the you know, I've often asked the most unique pregame ritual I've ever seen in my life.
I've actually heard about it, and that's enough for me to throw up in the back of my mouth. But no, I do realize
he's talking about another one.
Oh, I'm talking about some of the other ones I've heard of. But Doc, on a serious note, as we get back to this J.J. Watt story, because everybody in Houston is obviously asking questions about it. But now that the damage is done, literally, what are we talking about in terms of the significance of the injury? And you don't have the records, but if he goes out too soon and he aggravates or injures something, what are we talking about in terms of what is he looking at? What are the possibilities of what he could have done, the extent of which he could have done it, and then realistic comeback again this year? Or do you just basically write off the season and say you just got to get 100% right before you try it again?
Well, I think there's no question people are going to want him 100% right before he tries it again. The question is, what did he, quote, re-injure? Is this a re-herniation of the same disc? Is it a herniation of a different disc? Is it the same disc on the same side, or is it on the other side? Is it a muscle injury, quote, re-injury related to the surgery? Too many unknowns to tell when he's going to come back. Certainly there hasn't been a specific announcement. It's not like they've announced another surgery or anything like that. So I think it needs to be a little bit of wait and see in terms of what's going to happen here, in terms of how long he's going to be out for.
Well, Doc, our big brother station that just reported on ESPN that it was the same disc, the re-injuring of the same disc. So what does that mean if you are the surgeon? What does that mean if somebody was to come in and have that same disc issue?
Well, you know, thanks for telling me that. I just finished up with surgery, so I haven't heard any of the latest news this morning. And in general, if you think of a disc, there's the edge of the disc or the hard fibrous tissue, and then the, quote, softer stuff, the jelly in the middle. It's the jelly in the middle that gets squirted out. And when you remove the disc, you're not removing the structural part or the rim. You're just removing the jelly in the middle. The jelly in the donut gets squirted out. And what you do when you do disc surgery is you remove the jelly that's squirted out on the nerve and pushing on it. And surgeons often will go in and at the same time try and remove as much of the jelly as possible to prevent re-injury from happening. Now, obviously, if this is the report, then likely there is some more disc that is squirted out. But that doesn't necessarily mean he has to have surgery. Sometimes you can get better with time. And it does happen again a second time, unfortunately. But that could happen whether in this early time frame or could have happened next year as well. So it's a little too simple to say he rushed him back and this is why that it happened.
But Doc, just one real quick, because I've had some back issues myself, and there's also been some back and forth in terms of the extent of the damage to his discs. But essentially with the back right now and with discs, you basically are trying to rehab until you absolutely can't anymore and try every possible option, because right now, from a medical perspective, there is no artificial disc coming in that could help solve that problem. If it gets bad enough, isn't fusion the next step?
Well, that, if it gets bad enough, and that's a big if.
Okay.
I wouldn't even want to talk about that, and it would be very unusual to, within 2 months of having a first disc surgery, to be bad enough to need a fusion. That would be quite a stretch and quite a leap. And by the way, if it got to a fusion, that indeed might be career threatening. Right now, there's no reason to think that anything that's going on with J.J. Watt is going to be career threatening. Certainly, it's season threatening and maybe even ending, but not career-wise. If you got to fusion or, quote, artificial disc, if it was that bad, yes, indeed, that would come into play. But I really think we're a ways from that.
So, quick question, Doc. I know in San Diego, the hierarchy of things were you, Damon, James, and Norv would discuss a lot of things, what was going on with the athlete, you know, i.e. when Phillip had surgery, everybody knows he had surgery and played a week later after with the ACL injury. Who do you put this on for allowing JJ to go out there far too early? Because in my opinion, I put it on the head coach, because I figure somebody has to protect the player from himself. But who do you put this on, and who do you see is going to end up being the scapegoat for this?
Well, I don't know who's going to be the scapegoat, but I can describe to you how return to play is discussed. And it's a three-headed monster that has to vote unanimously to play. Any of the people who says no play and the player does not play, and doesn't matter if two, it's not a two out of three vote, it's three out of three. Who are the three parties? There's the medical staff, the doctor and the trainer, the doctor from a safety perspective and the athletic trainer from an effectiveness and both of them from a re-injury perspective. So you have the medical vote. The second vote is from the player, whether the player himself or his agent or his family or whoever's making the decisions. Sometimes decisions are made like, you know, I'm going to sit because I want to get it right. I got a contract year and what have you. So there, the player has to want to do it, the player slash the agent. The third party in this is, I'll call it management, the GM ownership slash head coach. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers and ownership and management saying, no, we're going to be conservative, or a different situation where you're rushing him back. But it has to be unanimous. If the doctor is saying no, there's no way the player and the coach can force their way into playing. If the player is saying no, there's no way it can happen. If the player and the doctor are both saying yes and the coach or the GM doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. So, you know, if you're really talking blame or responsibility, I have to say that it's shared.
Well, there you have it, Doc. That's unbelievable insight.
No question.
That's the kind of stuff that we've been kicking around for almost 2 hours now, and that's exactly what we speculated on. And that three-headed monster that you just defined for us is definitely something that's spelling it out for the listeners, and we definitely appreciate it. We're going to make sure that you are, as we say, it's from the locker room to the living room to the barbershop and everywhere in between. You definitely have skipped the bear rug and the beanbag chair. You have a seat at our table anytime. With the remote, and we'll even give you the remote on Thursday nights at this point to be a part of our living room. But thank you so much for joining us, because it's been incredible, the information you've been able to give us.
Thanks, Doc. Tell Kim and the kids I said what's up.
All right, thanks, Trap. You the man.
All right, take care. Appreciate you.
Dr. David Chow, the ex-doctor of the San Diego Chargers, giving you information that I dare say you can't find anywhere else.
Not at all.
Because he broke it down for us, and he broke it down in a big way. And we didn't even get to the Dez Bryant injury that he was going to break down. But he said... He kind of fibbed a little bit. He said he wasn't in touch with what was going on today, but yet he had already tweeted about Dez's injury. So my man's pretty tightly into the sports scene. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That was great stuff. We give that all to Travis Johnson. Props to Trav, which Trav likes to take and run with every chance he gets. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Travis Johnson in a three-way triple play that is breaking it up and bringing a lot of information to your day. And if you missed that last segment, which was phenomenal, with Travis Johnson's ex-team doctor, the ex-team doctor of the San Diego Chargers, Dr. Chow, that was actually breaking down the J.J. Watt-type injury, not J.J. Watt's injury, because he doesn't have his medical records, but the J.J. Watt-type injury and every ramification, possibility, and what's going on, it was pretty good stuff. So please check it out on the podcast. Head on over to ESPN975.com. Get all that information, but good stuff, and the doc will be back, so we'll definitely throw that out if you guys have questions too, because that's some pretty good stuff. And again, it's Chow, C-H-A-U, but if you want to follow him on Twitter, he's already breaking down the Dez Bryant injury. He keeps his finger on the pulse of what's going on in sports and can kind of give his general diagnosis of what's going on, and that's the kind of stuff that people like to hear about, which is very cool. And also want to remind you guys, because we keep you with the best of information locally, the Sugar Land Skeeters are in the championship round. Won 7-1 last night after disposing of York. They are playing again tonight. It is the last game at home of the season. It's the championship series against the Long Island Ducks. And if they win tonight, and it's, hey, by the way, it's a great game, and it's an unbelievable stadium, which we've talked about in the past. But you need to head on over to see a Skeeters game. Tickets as low as $10 to be in a field box, which is fantastic. And the Skeeters need that 10th man, so to speak, of support, because they won the first game of the best of five. They have the home game tonight. Then they go Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Long Island, and they have to win at least one. So you know that winning at home is important. So get out there and do your best to support your Skeeters. Head on out there and see the Skeeters tonight. Hopefully they can win again, because we're baseball fans around here, and we'd love to hear news like that.
Is Tracy McGrady still with them?
He's not, but he's on the wall.
Oh.
Yeah, they keep his. They have like this walk of fame of guys that have played. Scott Kazmir.
Yeah.
Right now, I think is it Jesse Barfield's son that still plays for them, Nick, or one of the ex-Blue Jays?
Not sure.
I think it's Jesse Barfield's son plays for them, but they've had some you know, over the years, they've had some pretty good players. And matter of fact, when Jason Lane, the old Astro outfielder, mm-hmm. when he converted to pitcher,
yeah.
he pitched for the Skeeters.
Travis, you ever play baseball growing up?
Yeah, of course.
When are we going to see you in a Skeeters uni?
Well, whenever they need me. You know, my shoulder's actually, like I said, after that shoulder injury. Because I was going to play at Florida State my freshman year until I tore my shoulder up.
Center field?
No, I was catcher in first base.
I was going to say first base because.
Yeah, I was going to play catcher in first base.
I could see you a catcher for
yeah,
sure.
I was something like the man.
Put the man in a Ranger,
something like it.
Put the man in a Rangers uniform. You can go that for Halloween and fool some people. I'm just letting you know.
Not a single home plate collision, I'm guessing.
Oh no, I used to love it.
No, like nobody would like you might run into somebody at home rounding third.
You know,
but no one came at you, right?
I'm gonna call you Prince Shug from now on.
That's crazy. You know what's crazy is they used to. When I first moved out of LA,
uh-huh.
you know, we played like the inner city league. We played Getty Field was one of, you know, probably better leagues in LA. Most, you know, all black baseball players. It was cool. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as kids. And then I moved out to where I was one of four black people in Oak Park. So like the league I played in, you know.
So you went from the majority to the minority in her.
Right now. Mm-hmm. You know, from 0 to 100 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or 100 to 0 right now.
I'm with you.
And then I never forget. I guess they assumed I couldn't play baseball. But after I tell them, I'm like, dude, my parents are from Panama. Are literally my auntie is literally married to Rod Carew's cousin. Like, we have baseball rooted all up and down our family. Uh-huh. Yes, exactly. And my granddaddy played professional baseball in Panama. But I remember the first kid tried to come home on me, and I buried him about 10 feet, and. Everybody was like, oh, he's too old. Now all of a sudden they want to see my birth certificate. Because when I moved, I was 5'10", 185 at 10 years old.
Who were these people? Damn. Donald Trump?
No, I mean, they probably were birthers, of course, you know. But it just was, they tried a few times. And after a while, they were like, dude, listen, if you come down here, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving this baseline.
No.
And this ball's going to get here the same time as you, and I promise you I won't drop it. So,
hey, let me tell you something, man. As long as Nick and I have known you, you never drop any ball when it gets close to you. We know that. And I'll tell you this, Nick. The other thing I'll say is we need to call him Prince Shug from now on because we've already said that he could be the Shug Knight double, but now he could be Prince Fielder too. For Halloween, Trav should just put a Rangers uniform on and a neck brace, and he could walk around the neighborhood and clean up.
Prince Shug seems more appropriate,
yeah,
right,
Prince
Trav?
Shug.
Prince Shug. I like that. I can take that one. Yeah, that's cool.
That's as easy. We could actually have a Twitter name like that. It would be a lot easier than coming up with other Twitter names.
We do have a text on people wanting to know about your pregame ritual, Trav.
Oh, I used to get slapped. I used to let the trainer slap me, both of them.
It's okay, time out. We need to hear more about this. See, I knew it. Barry would be all over this.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff.
Hold on.
That's why stuff that Barry likes.
But you cut Doc Chow off, and it's C-H-A-O, not C-H-A-O-U.
Okay, C-H-A-O. Okay, so get that right on Twitter, doctor, and then C-H-A-O.
If you're looking for him, he's Pro Football Doc.
There you go, Pro Football Doc. Okay, so let me just say this. The Nick and I have been privy to the pregame meals and the other rituals,
yes.
which we cannot repeat on air
yes.
safely at this point, although we can check. That's what I thought he was referring to.
No, he's referring to getting slapped by the trainers.
Please enlighten us as to, that was part.
Did you give him a safe word?
No, it was.
If they go too far?
It literally.
Somebody get an ass whooping if they go too far, right?
How hard are they hitting you?
Oh, it was.
Like Mickey, slap fest?
Oh, up? it was. Knock fire from first time you bloody my lip. I was like, oh shoot. Yeah, because you know what? It was a game. It was the first game back after I tore my groin. And I was like, man, I was real lethargic to get the game started. It was real lethargic. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can go. I'm like, man, dang, slap me. He was like, what? He's like, slap you for real or slap you? I say, man, knock fire from me. And I'm thinking, so the whole time.
Open-handed.
Yeah, okay. Of course. So I'm thinking, he finna tear my left cheek up. What I didn't realize, Damon was left-handed. So it comes from the other side. I said, oh, my.
You didn't see it coming?
Hey, I said, you rat.
That's way worse.
I said, okay, I'm ready to go now. And after that, I played well, and it literally was just something we continued to do.
Man. I don't know about that.
Was there any collateral damage? I mean, you said you cut your lip open one time. These guys are winding up.
He might have concussed me at one point, but it's, you know, it's part of the game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's what he was telling. They literally have a picture, and I think it might be on, it's an old picture. It might still be on the San Diego Chargers website way back when. But Damon is slapping me with Doc Chow looking in the background like, are you really going to do this? Is this really what's going on? And it was just, it, at the time, it was an epic picture.
If you're the trainer, too, you got to be a little fired up. You're going to get away with basically simple assault and on an NFL player and, with no ramifications.
And that's one of my, and he's, to this day, Damon Mitchell, he's still the second in command with the Chargers. He's actually married to a Panamanian lady, married to a Panamanian girl, man. And he's, that's my guy, man. That's my, like, he was one of all, he's always a good dude. That's my guy.
Wow. I am feverishly Googling for this picture or video. Was there video?
Oh, it's probably video somewhere. Okay. All I got to do is call the Chargers. They probably have it on video and picture of it somewhere.
Nick, at some point, that's got to hit the website. We have got to get the Travis Johnson Slap Fest. That is awesome. That is just flat awesome. Hey, by the way, Keenan McCardell is supposed to be joining us at 3:30, as he normally does on Wednesdays, to talk NFL as well. But so far, we've had a pretty full show talking about everything from kicks to slaps to J.J. Walks Back. And we're going to do a lot more of that for the final hour. Two in the books, one to go. ESPN 97.5 FM.